Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
A factual data creation facility production.
Well, I don't usually do things like this, but here we go. From good old Tennessee, it's the OFNT Podcast. Now here's your host, the one and only, what was his name again? Oh, that's right, Jim Schaefer.
Welcome to episode 265, which I'm calling, Where's My Alexa Plus? Supposedly, Amazon's AI-infused digital assistant was releasing in March. What happened? Anyway, happy Easter for those who celebrate it. Speaking of which, I guess the tech industry considers Holy Week as spring break, because there was hardly any tech news this week. Go figure. Well, I guess I'll get this thing started right now.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Tech news. Talk about a slow news week. This has to be the slowest tech news week I've ever experienced since starting this podcast. I did my best to dredge up what I could, but be forewarned. This will be a very short tech news section, hence a short episode. And to think I was overloaded with items just a few weeks ago. The biggest news this week concerned the formerly Don't Be Evil company, our old pals over at Google. The headline from TheVerge.com reads, Google loses ad tech monopoly case.
Uh-oh.
The headline says it all. This is the first result from a series of lawsuits brought against the Big G by the U.S. Department of Justice, accusing the company of being monopolistic.
Well, that's fine, but what about Apple?
Well, Apple doesn't completely dominate any other market but their own. And thanks to the EU and others, even that grip is slipping. And who knows, perhaps Apple is next on the DOJ's hit list. Maybe Apple has better lobbyists within the halls of Congress and are able to deliver larger bags of cash to those who inhabit those halls.
Yes!
The DOJ had argued that Google illegally monopolized three separate markets within the ad tech space. Publisher ad tools, advertiser ad networks, and the ad exchanges that facilitate transactions. I guess the DOJ proved its case. They found that Google collects monopoly profits at the expense of publishers and advertisers, causing a horrible experience for them with no real alternatives. Google's defense was that the company is actually helping publishers and advertisers make money, and that the government's view of the market was contrived and not based in reality. Oof. Google also said that it has legitimate business reasons for its behavior, and the government simply wants to dictate how it can conduct its business. There's nothing like blasting the entity that allowed and still allows you to make gazillions of dollars. This can't bid well for the next decision on another lawsuit against Google from the DOJ.
No.
Which proposed that Google spin off its Chrome browser and open up search results for syndication. In my opinion, Google has been playing dirty pool on all levels of the business the company participates in. They constantly track all aspects of your use of their products, skew search results in their or whoever they back politically's favor, and are such a dominant force that they destroy competitors. The Windows Phone mobile operating system, for example.
Still upset about that, are we?
Why, yes, I am.
Let it go, Chief. Just let it go.
No, I will not. Ever. Research firm IDC is reporting that Apple's iPhone shipments in China declined by some 9% in the first quarter compared to the year earlier.
No!
And it was the only smartphone vendor to see a decline in that country.
Oh, no.
This caused the iPhone's market share to fall from 17.4% of the market to 13.7%. Market leader Xiaomi saw shipments rise by 40%.
Whoa.
Ironically, Xiaomi made its bones, so to speak, by relentlessly copying Apple from the look and feel of its software to the look of its hardware. So much so that Xiaomi won't enter the U.S. market because they would be sued into oblivion. Well, the chickens seem to be coming home to roost, hey, Tim Cook? I've always complained about Apple basing their manufacturing for a time solely in China and signing secret deals with the government over there, which saw the transfer of billions of dollars in intellectual property to local companies. These companies turned out to be competitors to Apple, and now they're paying for it.
Yeah, boy.
I believe old Mr. Cook is starting to see the light, though. First by doubling iPhone production in India and the like, which concerns the next story. 9to5Mac.com reports that Apple has shifted the assembly of iPhone 16e's from China to Brazil. Well, for iPhone 16e's sold locally in that country. Well, it's a start. Reportedly, Apple is considering expanding the capacity of the company's facility in Brazil in order to supply iPhones for the whole North American market. The tariffs imposed by the Trump administration has a lot to do with this. While products made in China could have tariffs up to 245%, Brazil has been hit with only 10% tariff rates.
I beat China all the time.
I don't know about all the time, but perhaps you did in this instance. While this doesn't bring iPhone manufacturing back to the United States, at least it brings it back to this continent. Bloomberg's leaker du jour and source for everything giant fruit company related is hearing that Apple CEO, Tim Cook, is interested in nothing but, as AppleInsider.com puts it, the fabled Apple Glass. These are the augmented reality spectacles that will be like normal prescription glasses, not the atrocity that is the Vision Pro goggles. According to sources, Mr. Cook cares about nothing else. Well, that would explain Apple intelligence, or the lack thereof. The source further states it's the only thing he's really spending time on from a development standpoint. I heard that his obsession with Apple Glass is so great that he doesn't even want to look at any other Apple product.
Huh?
Mr. Cook must also be worried about Meta beating him to the punch. Meta already has a popular product with its Ray-Ban smart glasses, but they are only able to take photographs and use AI. But at least they have a product on the market. Samsung is on the cusp of releasing their Vision Pro competitor, but what little I've seen of it, the product will probably suffer the same fate as the Apple Vision Pro, that being consigned to niche status. It'll be cheaper to buy than the Vision Pro, so it will probably outsell Apple's goggles. The demonstration of the Samsung VR goggles I saw on CNET left the comment section and myself sort of underwhelmed. Gemini takes too long to answer questions and perform tasks. Oh, did I mention that instead of being gesture-based like the Vision Pro, Samsung's headset is voice-based? Okay, back to Tim Cook. The guy is nearing the end of his CEO tenure at Apple. He's made enough money already, so in my estimation, for whatever that's worth, he's in search of his legacy. When you have millions of dollars in the bank, I guess money is no longer a real concern. Whatever happens, I do hope I get to see and use a pair of augmented reality glasses before I ascend to that happy hunting ground in the sky.
Yeah, good luck with that, bro.
Ah, shut up. They would go well with that self-driving Tesla that's been promised this year, or in other words, real soon now. 4chan, the infamous graphic-driven internet forum, has been shut down following a hack from a rival forum. The entire 4chan moderation team and many of the site's registered users were doxxed. What was found is that a large proportion of the moderators were from college campuses, including many professors. Some are even from the government.
What?
This is known because they had used their .edu or .gov email addresses for their accounts. Well, upon research, that information has been proven to be wrong. Most registration emails were from Gmail.
We now return you to our regularly scheduled programming.
It gets worse. The source code for 4chan was also leaked, revealing that the forum was run on decades-old, outdated software that had had no security updates for quite some time.
Wow.
The involvement of university professors and government employees shouldn't come as any surprise. These two entities work hand-in-hand on such things to run propaganda, psyops, and censoring operations. I've never used or even been on 4chan, so I couldn't even tell you what it's all about. But various publications describe 4chan as being dominated by, quote, extreme right-wing internet users, unquote. Have you ever noticed that there seems to be no extreme left-wing internet users or extreme left-wing anythings in existence these days? Food for thought. Tech I'm using. As I mentioned during the intro, I'm still waiting for Amazon Alexa Plus to arrive on one of my many eligible Echo devices. I would have added patiently to describe my waiting, but that unfortunately has now worn thin. I've been using Echo devices since before their public release.
Wow.
So you'd think I'd get some sort of preference. Then again, once I do receive Alexa Plus, I'll probably be disappointed in it.
Yes.
Do you use Echoes in Alexa? And if you do, have you gotten Alexa Plus yet? This next item really isn't a tech I'm using issue, or is it? Well, it might have been considered a tech issue a couple or few centuries ago. I'm talking nail clippers here.
Is this subject something you really want to discuss here?
Oh, keep quiet. This is podcast gold. Gold, I tell ya. Many years ago, back in what somebody I overheard once referred to as being the day, I couldn't care less about nail clippers. Now, it wasn't that I neglected trimming my nails. No, it was that I could pick up a decent pair of clippers, well, anywhere. That's when they were made in the good old USA. Of course, over the years, that has changed. I noticed this change starting in the very early 1990s. Most of the brands back then started manufacturing their stuff in China. And while my lovely wife didn't seem affected by this, well, I sure was. I don't know if I have weird fingernails and toenails, and well, it wouldn't surprise me if I did. But these made-in-China clippers would not cut my nails efficiently. This situation was somewhat alleviated when, while visiting relatives in Manhattan, we misplaced our nail clippers, forcing me to run out and buy a pair at some pharmacy on Columbus Avenue and 86th Street. My wife had an ingrown toenail and it was bothering her, hence the priority of attaining a new pair. In a hurry, I quickly scanned the selection of clippers and, recognizing the Revlon brand, I purchased some, well, two pairs to be exact. I was charged New York City prices for them. These clippers were made in the Republic of Korea and worked as well as the old made in the USA models of what was by then my youth. Unlike my wife, I still have my pair of 30-something-year-old Revlon clippers. That's a testament to how well the Korean factory who made them was. Over the many years, my wife has purchased replacement clippers of various brands, including the now China-made Revlon as replacements for the old Revlons, but all have failed me at their task. They all had one thing in common. Well, they were all made in China. I think it's all due to the quality of steel used to make them these days. Well, recently, the Revlon clippers have started to show their age, now falling apart after use, forcing me to rig them to work again. So I decided to peruse Amazon.com for a replacement pair. My search criteria was simple, and that was nail clippers not made in China. Well, the search results were much larger than I thought they would be. I'm not a selfish person.
Now, that's a matter of opinion.
Yes, it is. And that being so, no one asked you for yours. Anyway, I decided to order a pair of clippers for my wife and son also. The first pair I came upon were advertised as German nail clippers. They came in the color black, so I ordered these for my son. He's edgy that way. Also, to prevent cut nails from careening around your house, these clippers had a container on board to contain said clippings. The second pair of clippers I came upon were also advertised as German. These didn't have the clipping container, but they looked beautiful and came with a leather case. I purchased these for my wife, who's sort of a semi-Luddite anyway. Continuing to scroll, I came upon clippers made in the USA. Actually, it was a set of two clippers. One large for toenails and a smaller pair for fingernails. They also had the container on board to prevent nail clippings from going where you just don't want them to go. Not only that, but they were a little bit cheaper than the, quote, German pairs. I received the black German clippers Friday. They came in a nice metal box, and on its rear was printed, designed in Germany, made in China.
What?
I opened the metal box and, well, they looked nice and they seemed sharp, but I'll leave that judgment up to my son. I was kind of upset, though. I thought I was getting a German-made product, but what I received was just another Chinese product. If I had bothered to actually read the reviews, I would have found that this was the major complaint of reviewers who, like me, were duped into thinking they were getting a German-made product. The other clippers were delivered Saturday and were in fact made in Germany and the USA respectively. My wife's German pair looked even more beautiful than its picture on Amazon, and I'm sure she'll be happy with them. My USA-made clippers look kind of funky and have a weird operating procedure, but once figured out, it cut my nails as well as my 30-some-odd-year-old Revlons did in their heyday. The lesson here is that unless the Amazon product description specifically states made, the word being made, you'll probably be getting something made in China or somewhere other than you assume it's coming from. This reminds me of a couple of microphones I have. I purchased an Electrovoice RE20 and Heil PR40 some time ago, thinking they were both made in the USA. Neither mic says anywhere on the packaging or the mic itself where they were actually manufactured. Well, I've come to find out that the Electrovoice was most likely made in Mexico, being that multinational corporation Bosch acquired the company and promptly closed all of its U.S.-based factories. As for the Heil, which is still a private company, I emailed them asking them this question and never received a reply. I'll take that non-response as a hard no. I'm curious about the rumored new Apple TV streaming box. The current model is way past due for an update. There's talk of a new faster chip, more RAM, and even the inclusion of AI. I can do without the AI.
Speak for yourself.
I am speaking for myself. Can you say the same? Yeah, that's what I thought. Heck, there are even rumors of some sort of a camera being included on this thing. For what purpose? Well, your guess is as good as mine. What I would like to see is a camera that is separate from but able to be connected to the Apple TV to enable the user to make and receive FaceTime calls on televisions. I feel this would be a game changer. Last year, Apple gave its streaming box that capability, but you have to use your iPhone as the camera. I think a detached camera would be a much better option. What do you think? Entertainment news. I guess I'm in the minority here, but I enjoyed the spy thriller series Citadel, which aired on Amazon Prime Video. At the time, it was one of the most expensive television series ever produced. I think the ill-fated Rings of Fire and any series aired on Disney Plus these days may have eclipsed Citadel. I patiently waited for season 2 of the show, being that the first season ended with a cliffhanger. Well, it didn't happen. Instead, we got two spin-offs, one set in Italy, called Citadel Diana, and one set in India, the stupidly named Citadel Honey Bunny. While I watched and enjoyed Citadel Diana, to a point, I couldn't get through the first episode of Citadel Honey Bunny. Well, according to an article on digitaltrends.com, both of the spin-offs have been canceled. The good news is the original Citadel will finally have a second season.
Yay!
Elements of the spin-offs will be incorporated into it. Well, the bad news is the second season of Citadel won't be ready for release until 2026. Ooh. That's a full 3 years between seasons. Another show I liked, Peacock's Poker Face, which is basically an updated gender-swapped Columbo, finally debuts its second season next month, and that's a full 2 years after the show's first season. Now, I can live with a short 6-episode season, but having to wait 2 or 3 years between them is just unbearable. Yeah, I know we had a writer strike, but come on, 3 years? The final episode of the final season of Bosch Legacy has come and unfortunately has gone, which is the end of the road for the last of the oldest first batch of Amazon original television series. Though technically a spinoff from the original Bosch series, most of the original cast of Bosch made the transition. However, in this final episode, actress Maggie Q of Nikita fame debuted as the Ballard character, which will have its own show starting this summer. I was a fan of Nikita, and I enjoy Maggie Q in just about everything she's in. Some of the Bosch Legacy characters will make appearances in this new series too, which is a good thing. I also noticed that Maggie hasn't aged as well as she ought to have, probably due to those cigarettes she enjoys, but she's still serviceable. A new season of MGM Plus's Godfather of Harlem dropped last week. That's another example of a 2-year wait between seasons. I haven't watched any of the new season yet, again waiting until my wife returns from her travels. In the past, we've enjoyed watching the show together.
Well, isn't that romantic of you?
I think you've already said that before. We get it. All in all, this summer's television watching seems to be shaping up to be a good one. Podcast news. Even Podcasting Incorporated seems to have been on vacation this week, which is saying something. Women's podcast listenership has tripled in the last 10 years, no doubt because of female infatuation with true crime podcasts. If I wanted true crime, I'd move back to the Bronx and simply step out on the street. Patreon, the podcast monetization outlet, will now be able to host live video streaming. Oh, joy. This as Spotify goes all in on audiobooks and video, investing millions in the creation of its own audiobooks and exclusive video podcasts. The side effect of this is that traditional audio-only podcasts are leaving Spotify for other hosting services. I'll be keeping an eye on this trend. I have the feeling that it will eventually turn into an avalanche of independent podcasts which are Spotify exclusives, leaving them. This will leave Spotify with mostly self-produced in-house podcasts, mostly from the old Parcast studio, which the company absorbed years ago. Parcast was the best independent studio Spotify snapped up back in the days of their expansion. I miss Parcast and their shows, the founders of which have pivoted to television and movie production. Well, OG podcast hosting company Libsyn continues deteriorating, announcing a 10,000-to-1 reverse stock split, meaning if you own less than 10,000 shares in Libsyn, well, you no longer own shares, and will receive $1.60 for each share you previously owned. Libsyn was dropped from the stock market in 2022 and decided not to rejoin. Leo Laporte's This Week in Tech, or TWiT podcast network, celebrates 20 years this month, now only a shell of its former self. Because of the collapse in advertising revenue, the network was forced to sell its studios and stream their shows from the hosts' homes. I used to listen to a few of these shows on the TWiT network until they got all political on me. In regards to this, the OFNT podcast, or whatever you call what I'm doing here, I've started getting interview requests again and got an invitation to submit this podcast to be considered for an award from the People's Choice Awards this year. I decided not to submit the OFNT podcast this year due to my falling audience numbers, at least in the U.S., and my plans to update this 6-year-old show to give it more polish before I submit it and embarrass myself.
There's that music again, which means episode 265 is coming to an end. We don't want it to end. Next meeting, we'll have to bring it up to him.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you liked what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com if you're so inclined. We'd enjoy hearing from you. Really, we would.
Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do.
All of us here are tired of talking now, do us a favour, love, and get off our lawn.
Stay skeptical.
I'm out. See ya.
Hang on a minute. What just happened?
If you're looking for legit ways to make extra money, you've got to check out The Side Hustle Show. With hundreds of actionable episodes to choose from, you'll learn what's working now from real people making real money, like the Utah mom who built a six-figure business playing video games, or the guy earning $3,000 a month renting out mobility scooters. Online or offline, from Amazon to your own hometown, from YouTube to vending machines, The Side Hustle Show has you and your wallet covered. Subscribe to The Side Hustle Show wherever you're listening to this podcast and increase your earning power today.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.